Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there, and bow before Him there. 1, 2, and 3 of 348.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, and thereof chapter 2, beginning with verse 22 to the end. Or from 22 to 40. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Chapter 2 of Acts, beginning with verse 22 to 40. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden to it of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Thus far our scripture reading.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the de Kock family whose brother has passed away in the Netherlands in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thou who hast ascended and who sittest at the right hand of God, Thou whom who hast made thy Son to sit in the place of glory and on the throne of power, we ask of thee in this morning hour, when thou givest to us another day of grace, and another Sabbath day wherein we may come together under thy holy word, that we may experience something of thy power as thou dost sit in thy place. Lord, thou givest unto us a beautiful Sabbath day, wherein we may rise in this morning, and wherein we may come to thy house of prayer. Others have been taken away. They have gone to their place. It is a final place. Oh, how many they are this day annoying and gnashing their teeth in pain and in suffering with an awful remorse for the time that is gone by, that is now for them forever finished. And they have been assigned unto a place from which they will never, ever come forth. Then we can read of it in thy holy word, where a rich man, he is asking that some are sent unto his brethren, that they would not come into that same place. But Lord, thou givest unto us Moses and the prophets, and thou sayest that we must hear them. O Lord, we have no ears to hear, and we have no hearts to understand. And when thou wilt not begin with us, then we shall go that same way as that rich man. Or we ask of thee then, in this morning hour, that thou may come and bless thy word with that power of Pentecost, of thy Holy Spirit, to sanctify thy truth, to bring it in our hearts, to stop us upon our mad career, wherein we are traveling with blind eyes and not knowing whither that we are going, not understanding from whence we have come, but only enjoying all that is vain in this world. O Lord, open to us the emptiness. Oh, could it be in this very day that thou may show to each and every one of us, for the first time not only, but also by renewal, the vanity of this world. Lord, could it please thee to work with might and power in young and old together, to increase the number of thy church that is here below, then they shall begin to pray. Then all our righteousnesses will become as filthy rags. Then we shall begin to need thee. Lord, wilt thou give unto thy church also by renewal, the drawing of thy Holy Spirit, for thou knowest that it can be that they live out their life here below no different than the heathen in this world. Oh, thou knowest how low that it can come, so that the world can see no difference. That the daughters of Jerusalem do not look with a holy jealousy for the condition of that bride. Oh, that thou may revive thy work in the midst of the years, and wilt thou be the first one again, for she knoweth that she does sleep. For she sleepeth, but her heart waketh. Lord, then she cannot bring herself out of her slumber. O thou who wast the first, wilt thou be the first again? O wilt thou come knocking, Lord? Wilt thou come drawing? Wilt thou come leaving a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock, that the bowels of the bride may be moved for thee again? Oh, that she may rise up and go forth to seek her beloved. Do look upon each one of us then individually, that thou may keep us in this day from wandering thoughts. For our hearts, they are not inclined to thee or to thy service of ourselves. But thou who didst come into the temple when thou wast here below, and thou who didst make a scourge of small cords to drive out the buyers and the sellers, oh, come down even among us and drive them out, Lord. Oh, that at this house and maybe indeed in this day a house of prayer and not a den of thieves, but that the hearts may cry to thee in a great need, even as thy word that may be brought, and thou wilt give it, that there may be sighing, Lord, that there may be crying, not alone for us, all we needed to, but may it be for each one for his own soul. And with a cry, Lord, bless, Lord, sanctify. Lord, come, Lord, do for me. What I cannot and I will not do for myself, turn me, O Lord, and I shall be turned. Draw me, then we shall run after thee. O look upon those that have grown old under the reading, the preaching of thy holy word. O thou knowest sometimes all their fears, with all the knowledge of what must take place, but without the experience of it. O we can only beseech thee, who art stronger than death, who art able to break the hardest heart of stone in one moment and to make it to melt and to bring the most hardened sinner to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, we ask it of thee, O Lord, for them and for each and every one of us together. Wilt thou look upon those that are not able to be among us, the afflicted and the sick ones, those that listen by church telephone. We remember our brother elder. Lord, thou knowest the struggles with his health in the time that is gone by and still continuing. Lord, wilt thou remember him and give him health and strength? And wilt thou look on our brother deacon also? Wilt thou look on all the afflicted and the sick ones? Be also with those that mourn, that have lost a brother, a brother-in-law, a relative in the Netherlands. Lord, then thou knowest that the young can die, but the old must die. Oh, sanctify the callings. They come unto us again and again and again. But our hearts, they become harder and harder and harder, except for the working of thy Holy Spirit. Remember all the needy, all the afflicted, all the oppressed, all the abused, all those that have needs of the mind, all those that have struggles, those that suffer from addictions. Wilt thou strengthen them also against all the temptations of the prince of darkness? And wilt thou cause that the many temptations that are set also before our youth, especially in the days that we do live, oh, that thou would keep them, and that thou would keep them from evil. Remember us in this morning. Lord, we are called once again to go before this our flock, and we may acknowledge thee, that thou givest us a little more strength. O Lord, it comes all from thee. So much we take for granted, but we cannot move one finger unless thou givest unto us the strength, therefore. And we may acknowledge thee, that thou givest it again in a little measure. O increase it, Lord, that we may increase also our labors upon this pulpit and in the midst of our flock. But could it please thee to go now before us also, for we need not only for the body, but also for our soul, and in a special way in our office, called to preach, but who is sufficient for these things? And if we cannot bring it further than the ear, oh, we ask thee, Lord, bring it in our hearts, each and every one, and give us in thy mercy, undeservedly, a good hour together in thy favor, that we truly and may be able to say that the Lord was in our midst. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 64, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows in Psalter number 64, all stanzas and the last collection today, is for the building fund.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, last week we may commemorate together the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the day of Pentecost. And that is a special feast day in the Church of God. Then we see that there was on that day a twofold fruit. Because when the Spirit of the Lord shall come, then indeed there will be fruit. And that fruit was twofold. We have seen that there was fruit in the disciples of the Lord. That is, that we heard that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they began to speak with other tongues as that Spirit gave them utterance that was necessary. Why? Because of their office. How faithful is the Lord when He is calling a man into an office in His church. So many fears there can be that go before a person because of his own lack. But when indeed it is the calling of the Lord, then it will be experienced that the Lord is faithful. And then there is a going according to His command with a laying of all the needs at the feet of the Lord. And such a man shall not be ashamed. But now that fruit that was not in the first place for those disciples. That was not that they may be given gifts, and that they may receive honor and glory from men in this world. No, there was another reason. And the fruit in those disciples that had a purpose, that was for the bringing forth of fruit in the multitude, that was for the gathering of the church of God in the midst of this world. And we therefore wish to go a little further. And that is, we wish to consider together something of this second fold fruit. The words of our text you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Acts 2, verse 37, and thereof only the last part, men and brethren, what shall we do? So far, the words of our text, which is an earnest question. First, we want to consider the cause of this question. Second, the earnestness of this question. And third, the answer to this question. But we have not time for all of this today. Thus, this morning, we wish to consider together the first two thoughts. An earnest question, first the cause of the question, and secondly the earnestness of that question. And next week, if we may be spared, the Lord willing, then we hope to consider together the answer to this question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Congregation, have you ever asked such a question? Men and brethren, what shall we do? We say an earnest question. When do we ask a question? Children, young people, you ask questions. When? Well, when you want to know something, when you are seeking something, when you are searching for something, then you are asking a question. Thus, a question that is asked by a living person, not by a dead person. What do we read in God's word? The dead know not anything. He cannot ask. But you can ask a question. A living man, he has a mind. He has a will. And he has, when he will ask a question, he has a motive. He has a reason that he is asking such a question. Thus, a question that has a cause. There is something that goes before a question. Is there not, children? There's always something that goes before when you ask a question. There is something that has been in your mind that is necessary that you may even formulate a question. Thus, what are the causes? What are the reasons that people do ask questions in this world? Maybe you have an inquisitive mind. You look about you in the world, and then you wonder. You say, I wonder about this, and I wonder about that, and that is a good thing. When you look around you and you wonder, and you go to school, and you ask your teachers questions. Will you do that? Questions, many questions to your father, to your mother, because it is by questions that you are learning all about this world. Solomon. And then he said that he also did inquire. He sought out wisdom and all the business that is done under the sun. That is a good thing, because it is the creation of God. But do you also have other questions? Do you also have questions when you read the Holy Word of God? Are you also seeking answers to those questions? Thus, the cause of our questions, sometimes because we have an inquisitive mind. Sometimes questions are asked in this world because of pride, because of enmity. We read of the scribes and the Pharisees. They are asking questions of the Lord Jesus for a purpose. It is deviousness. They want to force him into a corner. So they will ask him questions, certain questions formulated in such a way that he is not able to answer them. Do you know what we read? That there came a time that no man durst ask him any more questions. No, not those kind of questions, because then the Lord, he is putting them to shame. Thus, our questions, they can be asked because of inquisitiveness. They can be asked out of pride, out of enmity. They can also be asked in order for protection, to protect ourselves, to protect our loved ones. When we think about the Shunammite And then she went to God's servant, Elisha, and she asked him a question. She said, "Did I not say unto thee, do not deceive me?" What was that question about? That was her child. And her child had died. Thus, questions. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Who is asking that question? That is a multitude of people. And they all have the same question. That is a wonder. That all together, these people, they are asking together this one question that is living in their heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Thus, let us ask, what is the cause of this question? What is moving them? What has gone before? What is the reason that this question is coming up in their mind? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Is that curiosity? Are they asking for a lecture? Are they asking that the apostles, they would address a certain topic? Oh no. You can hear it. There is much more in it. Is it enmity? No, there was. There was mocking. But it has been silenced. How? By the word of God. Then Peter has answered that mockery. He has answered it with the prophecies out of the Old Testament. He has given the explanation, he has given the application, and he has put those mocking mouths to silence. Thus, the cause. What is the cause of the question? Well, we read the cause. We read what has gone before this question. And what is it? Well, we read, "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." They were pricked in their heart. And because they were pricked in their heart, they are asking this question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Therefore, we are considering this first, the cause of their question, this pricking in their heart. Who did that? It does not say, children, that they pricked themselves in their heart, no. No, they were pricked in their heart. Can a man prick in the heart? No. We cannot touch the heart. But it is God. It is that Spirit of God that is moving amongst this multitude that has given unto the disciples these heavenly gifts. And these gifts, they are being blessed, they are being sanctified, and that Spirit is moving. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Thus, it is the Spirit of the Lord who is ultimately the mover of this question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? There is a counterfeit. Do you know where we can find that in God's word, young people? The counterfeit? Very similar question. Young man, he came to the Lord Jesus, and he said, "What good thing shall I do?" Do you hear it? "What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus gave him an answer. And what do we read? We read he went away. He went away how? He went away sorrowful. You say he asked a similar question. Yes, he did. But the moving cause, that was very different. that question that came out of his own heart. What was missing in that man? What was missing? What was went before? That was, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That man missed this. He missed it. What does it mean to be pricked in our heart? That is not to be pricked in our conscience only. We all have that. Everyone. You two children, you have that too. That you are pricked sometimes. When sin, when temptation that is present, and when your conscience that is speaking to you to say, no, do not do it. It is against the word of God, the commandments of the Lord. It is sin. And then your conscience that is pricking you. And what do? Well, many times we go on, do we not? And we make some kind of an excuse. Or we justify ourselves. And we continue. And we bury it. You cannot bury it forever. It is coming back. It will come back. Time after time in your life to prick you. And then if you may will bury it again, then you may be successful in making yourself easy. But you are not easy. But it is coming back. It is coming back on that day that in your sickness, your life that is fading away. It is coming back in that day that you are preparing to take your last breath here in this world. It is coming back in that last day that you are standing before that judgment seat of God. Everything that has pricked us in our conscience in this life. Now when they were pricked, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Oh, how different. Because when we are pricked, not only in our conscience, but when we are pricked in our heart, then what is the difference? Well, in the first place, the difference is that we cannot bury it anymore. The difference is that we are not able to weasel our way anymore in and out of all of our excuses. No, but that the Lord is coming to say, as he said unto David, thou art the man. And then it is impossible to let it go anymore. That is the first difference. Now there is a second difference. When we are pricked in our heart over against being pricked in our conscience. And what is that second difference? It is sorrow. Sorrow. Pricking of our conscience that gives remorse. Yes, we may be sorry. We may be sorry. Because now there are consequences. Because now there is shame. Because now I have a pricking in my conscience always. And it goes with me day after day. Then I am sorry. but I have no sorrow. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and that sorrow, that is a grieving, because I have sinned against a God whom I have come to love. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. And now it is that love that is causing me to feel something in my heart. The heart that is the seat of the affections, the seat of love, that is not in our mind. No, the mind, the conscience, that is a scourging. But there is no love in it. There is no drawing in it. But now to be pricked in the heart, oh, then that heart is beginning to grieve, to sorrow, to see, to feel something of the evil of sin, that it is against such a good-doing God, my Maker, my Creator. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What a fruit! What a fruit! How powerful, congregation, is the Holy Spirit. Do you feel something of this? You say, I sit here today and I may listen and I may hear, but I do not feel. I do not feel. No. Why not? What does the Word of God say? The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. Cannot be. Because we are Adam's children. Therefore, it cannot be subject unto that law of God. That is the enmity. That is reality. With all our religion, with all our praying, with all our reading, which is good, with all our coming to the house of the Lord. That was Paul's experience. Enmity. In persecuting the true church of God with all the religion. And that man lived in good conscience before God, even in the days when he lived as a Pharisee. Oh, how powerful is that work of the Holy Spirit. Do you feel something of that? Oh, that you say, Lord, I cannot. This carnal, this hard heart that is living in my flesh, that I cannot break. Oh, could I but receive the cry of these men, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, see what a humility, and that Spirit of the Lord is working. How it is bringing a man off of his throne. How it is bringing a man before the feet of the Lord. Oh, see how irresistible is that Spirit of the Lord. Then Satan, he is not able to resist it. As Satan is not able to stop it, to make it to cease. Oh, then our carnal heart also is not able to resist it. No, because the Lord is making a willing people in the day of His power. Death itself has to give way unto life by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What is the cause? The cause is God. The cause is the Spirit of the Lord. But how? How is that Spirit working? Well, we read that also. That Spirit is working by the hearing. Then we read, now when they heard this. What a simple means to hear. Now when they heard this. Oh, what a simple means for a most powerful work. Now, when they heard this, what does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, let us never despise the hearing. The hearing of that word of God, even when it comes in great simplicity, even when it comes with many defects, oh, let us never despise the hearing, because we read, when they heard this, when you want to get wet, boys and girls, and then we go stand in the rain, then we get wet. When we want to be converted, then what must we do? Well, then we must go and listen, or read in that holy word of God. Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? What was this? This that was a sermon. That was the preaching of the Apostle Peter. Eloquent words? Oh no, the Word of God. What they knew, the Old Testament, explained and also applied. When they heard this, it was the preaching. The preaching of what? In a special way, then we can read how it was the preaching of the law. Thou shalt do no murder, is what Peter preached. That was not the preaching of the law in a general way. No, but that was the preaching of the law in a specific way. How necessary the preaching of the law. Why? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. And what does Peter preach? Well, he preaches. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, you have by wicked hands crucified and slain. No, then Peter was not speaking of the sin of the Gentiles. Then he was not speaking about the sin of others. But he was speaking about the sin of this people. He was speaking about the sin of that Jewish nation. Then he brings the law in all its force. He brings the law as specifically unto that people. Peter was bold. It is especially that religious multitude that does not want to hear that law. Because we as religious people, we do think that we are just a little bit or maybe much better than our neighbors who are not religious. who do not come to church, who do not read the Word of God, and now we do not want to hear a message that is going to condemn us. No, we must hear smooth things. And then we must condemn everything that is on the outside of us. But do not come too close unto me. Or Peter is bold. The preaching of Peter, that is a dangerous preaching. He has it in the Word of God, in the history of the church. What did they do with Jeremiah when he so preached? They threw him in the dungeon. Later on, we can read of Stephen, that they are stoning Stephen. The anger of that multitude when they are accused, and when that law that is brought home and applied, then they are gnashing upon him, we read, with their teeth. Peter is bold. He wasn't always bold. Was he, children? There was a time he was not bold. No, there was a time he was so afraid. He was afraid of the words of a maid in the midst of that hall of Caiaphas, and he is shrinking back. But what do we read? He is filled with the Holy Ghost. And by that Holy Spirit of the Lord, he is given a holy boldness to bring the sin of that people into the foreground. And that is necessary. Necessary why? Well, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. And without the knowledge of sin, there is no room for a mediator. There is no room for a savior. And thus Peter must be bold, and that he may begin in the beginning. Men and brethren, what must we do? We say it is an earnest question, and that earnest question that has a cause. And what is the cause? Pricked in the heart. By whom? By the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, how did the Lord stop Saul of Tarsus? When he was on his way to Damascus, he stopped him with an accusation. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me in the slaughter of my church? And then Saul, he is pricked. He is pricked in his heart. Then there is no rebellion. No, then he is not coming against it. Then his heart is made pliable. His heart is made willing. Will we not, congregation, say blessed law? Later Paul says, oh, that law that is holy, that is just, that is good. Why? Because I had not known lust. Except that that law had said, thou shalt not covet. Then I knew what was living, the wretchedness, the misery, the sin that was living in my heart. No, we cannot be saved by that law. But congregation, we cannot be saved without it either. Why not? Because the scriptures, they say that Christ, he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But if we will come to the end, then there must be a beginning. And what is the beginning? Men and brethren, what must we do? What is the cause? Oh, it is the sanctified, the blessed preaching of that law of God. Let us sing. 389:1-4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment, do not cause thy servant to be tried before thy holy laws. No man is justified. 1:4 of 389. Our second thought, the earnestness of this question, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is, congregation, not a question. That is being asked, as it were, by a man who is sitting in an easy chair. And that he is asking for information just as a pastime in this world. That is not a question. That is being asked by someone who has to make some kind of a decision here in this world. No, it is a question that is being asked by a people that are condemned. That are condemned. It is a people that have to die. It is a people who must be brought into judgment for committing the most atrocious crime that has been committed since the beginning of the world. Jesus of Nazareth, ye have by wicked hands crucified and slain. Oh, it is true. Then the apostle has said that it was done by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Thus do they say, young people, well, yes, we have done it, but God has decreed it. Do they reason then theologically in their mind? That they may come out from under their responsibility? Oh no, that is not the work, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. No, not at all. Yes, in the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, but it is my own sin for which I have to give an account before God. Oh, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, that is a question that cannot go without an answer. No. Why? Because when I have no solution to this, then I have to perish. Oh, men and brethren, what shall we do? They do not know what to do. Do you know what to do? They are religious people. Devout men from every nation we read under heaven, yet they do not know what to do. They are men that have brought their sacrifices unto the Lord, but they do not know what to do. They are men who have been instructed all their life in the ceremonies. And thus they have had the preaching of the gospel, yes, in its shadows. But that way of deliverance that is set before those people, but they do not know what to do. Why not? Because they have been pricked in their heart. Because it is no longer just a matter of their intellect, no. But the Lord has brought His law into their heart. He has written it in their inward parts. And they cannot come out from under that law anymore. Oh, it is the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then that matter, congregation, that is an urgent matter. Because that people, they have to die. And they are not able to die. Does the Spirit of the Lord make that people lazy, young people? Does it make them lazy? No. Just the opposite. Read it. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They do not know what to do, but they feel they have to do something. Does the Holy Spirit force that people? Oh, no. Where does that question come out of now? Oh, by the Spirit of the Lord. And that question that is coming out of their very hearts. Oh, they are made a willing people in the day of the power of the Lord. Oh, regeneration most powerful, our fathers say, yet at the same time, most sweet, most delightful. Oh, it is softening the hard heart. What do that people want to do? They want to make it right again. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They want to fix what they have broken. They want to undo what they have done. But they do not know how. They don't know what is necessary to undo it. Men and brethren, what shall we do? How should man be just with God? Or what will he receive from me? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? And shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? O men and brethren, what shall we do? No, there is nothing that is too much for them. And not in this time, not in these moments, not under such a conviction. No, then they are ready in those moments to forsake the world and every former friend. Oh, then that which is most dear to them in this world, oh, they are ready to turn their backs upon it. Is it too much for them to ask them to come into the house of the Lord, to seek Him, or to read His Word, to go on their knees? Oh no, nothing is too much for them. And what are their thoughts? Oh, how are they going to make up this breach between God and their soul? What does David say? He says, I will behave myself in a perfect way. Oh Lord, when wilt Thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh, did you ever say that, young people? In my house, when I'm all alone before God, I will walk there with a perfect heart. Why? Oh, if only, that I could undo what I have done. Then they are careful. The expression our fathers have used is this: then they do not want to step over a straw, boys and girls. How big is a straw? Can you step over a straw? Say, that is easy. Yes. For you and for me, very easy to step over sin, because that is what we are. But when the Lord, He is bringing that law home to the heart of a boy or a girl, oh, then sin becomes sin. Then sin becomes sin. How evil in the sight of the Lord. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Congregation, what do we know of that question? Do you always know what to do? Do you always know what to do? Then we must say it is all in your mind. Then it is all in your intellect. If you always know what to do, then we must say that you have never been made alive by the Spirit of the Lord. Find yourself written in the Word of God if you always know what to do. Oh, there is a work that begins with man, the cause that is not from above. There is a work that begins from our own heart. Labor, yes. Much labor. Working. You know where it never comes? It never comes here, to this question. Men and brethren, What shall we do? There is reading, yes. There is studying, yes. There is going on our knees, yes. There is searching, yes. And what do? More and more and more, we come to a solution. We find the solution. And it is never broken down. It is never upended. Our work that is never turned upside down. And there is a certain taking hold of Christ. There is a certain leaning upon Him. And there is a temporal faith in Him that can cleave to Him. But the heart was never pricked. There was never room. There is no wonder. Then there is another work. The cause is from above. The cause is the Spirit of the Lord. And then it goes so different. Saul of Tarsus, he experienced that. He was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. He knew much, very much. And then the Lord came. And then he didn't know it anymore. And then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That is why Bunyan pictured it in that way. A man standing there in that city of destruction to be burned with fire, trembling, weeping, with that book of God in his hand, and he's crying out, what shall I do? What shall I do? That is the teaching of the Spirit of the Lord. To open the eyes of a blind man for his state, for his condition here below. Did the Lord ever do this? That you had to cry out, what shall I do? When the Lord is stopping a man upon his wicked path in this world and making him to cry out, what, oh, what shall I do? When the Lord is opening unto a religious man all his life, come and gone from the place of the holy. And then all of a sudden, one word, his eyes are opened. And that religious mask that is peeled away. And the hypocrisy that is uncovered. And he stands open and naked in the sight of an all-knowing God. And then he says, oh Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? The mountains of sin, the mountains of guilt, the awful gulf, the separation between God and my soul. Oh, what shall I do? Are there such people in our midst? Young people? Are there such young people who are going over this world with this question? Maybe it is known to no one. Maybe it has not been seen yet by anyone. Maybe you try to hide it. Oh, if your car, young people, could speak, what would it say to us? Oh, this boy, this girl. Oh, they are listening. all this wicked music. Another one. Oh, then I hear him. His cry. What shall I do? What shall I do? Are there older ones? You know it so well. All your life in the house of God, you have instructed your children. Oh, then you love to hear it. The way that the Lord leads his people. And you can discern that is it. That is not it. Oh, has it ever come home to you so that you had to say, oh Lord, what shall I do? I do not know how to go one step further. Oh, are there the oldest ones who are grown hard and cold under the truth, whom the Lord has pricked, whom the Lord has pricked, so that that hard heart has begun to weep, and those stiff hands, they are folded, and those stiff knees, they cannot bend anymore, but a heart that is crying out to God, oh God, what shall I do? Congregation, then there is hope. Then there is hope. Why? You say you have not spoken yet of the answer. I know. I wish to speak this morning first of the question. Because before there is place for the answer, there must be a question. That question must be wrought out by the Spirit of the Lord in our heart. In our heart. Then there is a beginning. And then there is room for an answer. May the Lord give it. If it has never been given, in the week that is to come, that there may be a longing and a desire that you may hear what is the answer. What is the answer, Lord, to that question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may so acknowledge thee for all thy help in this morning. But it needs to be brought home to the heart of a sinner. And we ask thee that thou may give us help not only, but that thou may give the second fruit. Oh, give, Lord, the pricking of the hearts. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 188:1-4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1:3-4 of 188. The blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.